one thing we were talking about getting involved, you're getting involved in the neighborhood, in the community, and you're starting to talk about 11th Street.
Okay.
Closing of 11th Street.
All right. Yeah, I had, what we had learned that what the city planned to do was close 11th Street, which was next to Courage Taylor Elementary School, which meant that no emergency vehicles, and there was an apartment complex there at that time called Village West. So there would be no interest from 13th Street to 9th Street into that apartment complex and when they closed the street. So so that was one of our major battles. And the interesting thing is at that time I worked for Jeff's, my local public school system.
Mm-hmm.
And I was chairman of the Boston Area Council, so the area council was going to sue the city and the school district because they were in agreement on doing that. We won the battle, so
mm-hmm.
yeah, which elevated me in prominence, and because you know, don't fight.
Right.
I said I almost got the area council in trouble because they were, by that time they didn't believe that you took on the city. And
so did you actually go to court, or were they able to settle?
No, we settled it out of court.
Yeah,
we settled it out of court.
So that was after you were already employed
mm-hmm.
by the city.
Mm-hmm.
So you started as
city school system.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you started as community coordinator in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And who, under whose auspices, and how's that? Who was your employer?
The employer was the Lowell Public Schools. The superintendent at that time was Newman Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And my immediate supervisor was Booker Rice.
Mm-hmm. And what were your first duties then?
One of the things that they wanted with teacher corps was trying to develop a core of teachers that were more responsive to the communities in which they served. They had long since given up the idea of teachers coming from that community, but they wanted teachers who, and they hired community coordinators that would be responsible for supervising the teacher corps interns in their
mm-hmm.
in their community involvement experiences and arranging those experiences. And I was hired to do that.
Mm-hmm. And did that for how long?
Well, actually, I did it for less than a year, because there were six of us hired, and Booker Rice, who was responsible for the whole teacher corps program, was our immediate supervisor, and Booker decided that there was too much for him to take on because he had to work with the two universities and work directly with the developing differentiated staffing and a whole lot of other issues. And, you know, that aspect was too much. So they decided to hire a senior community coordinator, and then I became that person. Senior community coordinator supervised the other six.
Wow.
And
so you moved up quick.
Moved up quick. Because the book of, in fact, I was the last one he met with, and all the other five had recommended that I be the person. And so
great. Right.
And so when he came to me, it was to offer me, really offer me the job. And from that I moved into the Office of Organizational Development, because I had begun to participate in a lot of the in-service sessions.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever, you alluded to this already a little bit, but about 11th Street, but conflicts between your two roles, your employment and your community involvement?
several times.
Yeah.
And I was able to work with people and negotiate out the conflict.
Yeah. It was all about navigating that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have strategy? How do you do that?
And it worked because I kept getting out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Kept getting into it, but I kept getting And sometimes it's based on just like, when she asked me, so what do you think about? Not much. I mean, yeah, it's like, I don't want to take time and say more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that hence the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That took, and then which led to other conversations also.
So in 1975, when the busing plan came down, what were you doing?
It's
at that
another
time?
Conflict period.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Look, cause see the. Okay, let's go back a bit,
sure.
If you don't mind.
Yes,
I while I was chairman of the Russell Area Council, the Kentucky Civil Liberties Union began looking for an African American group organization to join them in the desegregation suit. At that time, I was also on the board of the NAACP, which eventually joined them in the suit.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also chairman of the Russell Area Council, which was one of the groups that they approached before they went to the NAACP, and we refused to join them in the suit. And gave the reasons why we did not think that it was appropriate. That what we were doing and basically was changing the problem, because the problem was not that black and white children didn't go to school together. The problem was much deeper than that, and that we didn't see how putting black and white bodies in the same building would change the problem. Okay. So
and the problem being.
The problem being that we had still had teachers on emergency certificates when they had black teachers with master's degrees and years of experience. The problem being that a lot of the resources that were in predominantly white schools, all white schools, were not in all black schools. And mixing the bodies, I remember making the statement that if I only have hamburger to eat, it doesn't do me any good to go to your house where you serve steak and I still have to eat hamburgers.
Right.
And so if you don't address the real issues,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
so that we have seen no evidence that anyone could manage, any school district actually managing that, and we refer them to the book, It's Not All Over in the South, which was out at that time, but not popular. It's been out of print for some time, I'm sure. And what the book was basically saying, it was talking about second and third generation desegregation problems. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Then I was on the NAACP board, and finally, and it was a real battle on the NAACP board whether or not to join them in the suit. When they came to NAACP later,
mm-hmm.
and they got into me again,
mm-hmm.
yeah, with the same. I mean, I'm who I am, so
right. So the NAACP didn't join.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did.
I lost.
You lost.
I lose sometimes.
But you were chair of that board.
No, I was just a board member.
Board.
The position of the NAACP became simply that the NAACP the Louisville chapter, had to support them in the desegregation suit, because that's what the national was supporting all over the country. So
okay.
they could not afford to do that. And so when the vote came out, and it was so interesting, there was an article in the paper, I think it was just Marguerite Harris and I who voted no. And it said in the paper that it passed, but George Eugene and Marguerite Harris voted no. Okay, now. Didn't get me in trouble at that time with my job. But later, when we got in 75, when the writ of mandamus came down from the Sixth Circuit Court that we had to desegregate. And at that time, I was in the Human Relations Department with the board, and I was doing human relations training. And But we now remember that the city system was there. I was still the senior community coordinator, I believe. I think that was still my title at the time. But we were also ordered, we had been ordered to merge with the county as a part, we had not been ordered to merge. We had, the city school district had voted to go out of business. Therefore, the county had to take it. That's what happened. Yeah, right. Let me get my facts straight. And so we were already reporting in, and Bernard Menace had come in, because what the sister school district voted to go out of, the Lewis sister voted to go out of this business, the position of the county was, that means that all the county took over, so everybody who worked for the county was super, took over the shop, so you know everything was run by the county. And so I was at that time. That's how Bernard got to be my boss, because he was a county employee.
Got it.
Okay.
But you stayed in your position.
Yeah.
Essentially,
I got promoted. I was the only one who got promoted. It was so interesting because I was supposed to get fired because the county. They said that the county system did not have anybody in an administrative position who did not have at least a bachelor's degree, and I didn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking forward to getting fired. And I decided what I would do is go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I had worked out, because I had worked through Teacher Corps and a lot of things with all of the universities, and so I had made arrangements to go to attend U of L.
So you'd gotten your high school diploma by that point?
No, I didn't have to have it. I had passed the, it's some kind of test they used to give, but I passed that.
Okay.
And you could go to college. Okay. And I had taken the test and passed it.
Okay.
So I had taken the test before when I was still a community coordinator and passed it. And what happened is like, I got 7 children, one of whom is very ill, a husband, a job, and going to school, and all my other volunteers, and going to school too, I just can't do it. So at that time, I decided I couldn't do it. Well, then when I was gonna lose my job, then I had time to do that. And a lot of the issues that forced me to go to work were gone.
Mm-hmm.
My son that was born with a birth defect, we paid off all the bills, you know, and all, so we were more solvent with mm-hmm. my husband's income.
Mm-hmm.
But
your plan to get fired did not.
Well, the rent of mandamus came. Now, in the city school system where I was working, not under Bernard Menace, that's when Betty Tripley was my immediate supervisor. We knew that the thing was in court, so we were making plans. I'm sure they were making plans in the county too. But we were making plans, you know, based on what if you have to do this. And one of the things that we decided, Sarah Jo Hooper, who was over multicultural education in the city, had written a plan called for Operation Hotline. And it was talking about opening up a rumor control network.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Betty in a meeting said to us, if she gave us the plan that she and Sarah Jo had written and she had approved, and said if you test us to read it, if we had major problems with it, don't say that unless you had major problems. Well, I was the one with major problems. I mean, I'm Georgia. So I had gone to her with, and I said, here's what I think the problems are, and I don't even remember what they were at this time, but she agreed that they were major problems, and she had called in Houston Connolly to come in and work with us and as a consultant, to help work through some of those very issues. And so he had come in, and we had just completed the document when the writ of mandamus came in.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, Betty may have even have gone.
Mm.
We completed the document. Betty left and started working at UK. And we went through, and so June Key and I don't know, have you interviewed June Key?
My colleague Joe went out to talk to her the other day.
Okay.
Yeah.
June and I were to, I was on my way down the hall, ran into June. It was also all the way down the hall because we had heard of, you know, the same information. We were both going to Bernard's meeting. At that time, June that day was to have the PTA and the people committee, which was a group that June worked with, was bringing in somebody from the somebody named Holiday from the Chamber of Commerce, and we were all supposed to be in this big meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I told June, I think it's important that they go on with that meeting, but I also think that we need to open the hotline that day.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start rumors that we were not prepared to do that, but you know, we need to open it because the rumors were going to start the moment that got out. And so that night, Lois Williams and I stayed and operated the hotline. And that's
really interesting. So you were there. I mean, you knew that mm-hmm. word would spread and get out
yeah.
of control when
mm-hmm.
you were ready to.
Yeah. And
yeah.
and so we,
huh.
and from then on, June was, I coordinated the hotline, June and I together. Her role was to keep the volunteer flow because we stayed open, I mean, all kinds of hours. It was
right.
crazy.
Right.
And so we, she.
What kinds of calls did you get?
Everything.
Yeah.
I remember one, and I forgot which one of the ladies was on there. And she said, she got off the phone and she said, "I know who the niggers are, but who are the yaps?" I said, "You." She said, "Who are the honkers?" I said, "You."
My goodness.
She said, "I had never heard those terms in my life." I said,
wow.
And I had to commit it because she stayed on the phone and let the person just,
just
but she thoroughly confused. A lot of the calls really was trying to get, I want the accurate information. I really want to know what's going on. But we got a lot of the bomb threats. We got, I mean, everything. You name it. It was just open season.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is like when most of the riots occurred, we could honestly trace the riot from its beginning with through calls to the fact that the problem became they had a whole command center set up to deal with that. That's where we were supposed to report. And
with police and that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they went in denial. I remember when it broke loose in Fern Creek and we kept getting the calls and we kept calling it in and they kept telling us what there was not anything going on. And finally I talked to John Rescher, who was the principal at Fern Creek, and I said, "John, I keep calling the command center. They keep telling me nothing is going on. But yet I keep getting calls from your community that there's fires, that you know, all kinds of stuff." And he said, "That command center is a damn lie. I've called them, I've told them, they know what's going on. And there are fires." He said, "I have to sneak the kids out of the building." Blah, 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 blah. And he just went on and on and on. So the breakdown became that the command center didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, and I think it didn't work because they expected trouble in the West End, and that's not where it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think
right.
that's what happened.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. It happened. And the other thing that like a lot of the riots that happened at Preston Highway and in Southwest Jefferson County, actually people went from the East End down to those communities.
Yeah.
And we knew that through the fact line because they were calling.
Hmm.
But
so Fern Creek was one, Southern,
yeah.
Where were the main?
Terry Road.
Terry Road.
Mm-hmm. Those were the main ones.
But you felt that you could the police weren't really listening.
We believe, and not every time we got a rumor, but when they keep coming from different sources. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that we had what we call key communicators around the community, so we would check our information with them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they would, you know,
mm-hmm.
they would confirm or deny, you know, yeah, things are brewing. Sometimes I don't know what's going on, but something's not right out here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I assume you had groups of black parents that were coming to you that were concerned about.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, out of some people said I formed United Black Protective Parents. I did not really form it. I worked with them. I think you've also probably interviewed Beneath the Others.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So you did that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, I told you this is my third trip here, so that was my first,
okay.
One of my first interviews.
Yeah.
Beneath
was a member, but people say she performed it and she didn't either. It was more like a catalyst. People came together. I was there. I started working with, especially after the one of the major incidents on Terry Road. There were a group of parents who were really going to go to Cherry Road to show that they weren't scared of white people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were going to take the route of confrontation.
And how did you know that they were going to do that?
Once again, a call came into battle.
Okay.
All
right.
And then at that time, the Justice Department was here, the Community Relations Service from the Justice Department was here. And sometimes we would get information through them and their sources.
Mm-hmm.
But we also got calls through the hotline. I went down to the meeting. At this point, not as a school district employee for real, I went down to the meeting as a parent concerned about my neighbors who were talking about going to Southwest Jefferson County.
Mm-hmm.
And my fear was, so you have a confrontation and y'all shoot up each other, what happens to the kids?
Right.
I mean, you
right.
You know,
Now, who was meeting? Was this?
It was not a group at this time. They later became the United Black Protective Parents. There was not a group. It was just what made the situation worse is they were already meeting about the violence on Cherry Road. Then a bus driver put kids off the bus.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Right.
On the expressway.
Right.
So that, you know, made it... much, much worse.
Right.
So
these are just parents that sort of called an emergency meeting.
Yeah. And because we got to do something. And their solution was to go and do direct confrontation.
Okay.
Since I didn't believe direct confrontation would not work, yeah, I was there to oppose mm-hmm. that. Now, I have to admit that, see, during this period, I didn't send my children to school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could not work with all those dynamics and worry about my kids personally.
Mm-hmm.
And my belief at that time is that nobody was learning. Be they black, white, and even the teachers who were trying to teach. One of the things that...
So this is right at the beginning of the school
mm-hmm.
year then?
Yeah.
So the school year had started.
Yeah, it had started and we were having all kind of those issues.
And you held your kids out.
I had my kids out.
Mm-hmm.
The Pastor, I don't know what you'll get on your tape, but I need to go back.
Yeah.
I was talking about the conflict. The conflict became with the NAACP, with me being over the hotline and doing the human, because I was also over human relations training. So I was doing human relations training. And at that time, they didn't have any, I was over the training unit. That was my title at this point. They did not have any, like the Gaines Academy and all that stuff, was nothing was in existence. And so we trained everybody, teachers, community, everybody. Mm-hmm. We were doing it all. And so I could not, so there were people who had real problems with me being in such a role who was opposed to desegregation, of mm-hmm. school desegregation. So if I was anti, how could I be doing this? Mm-hmm. And so that was conflict. And so some folks actually came to the board to get me fired based on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was the point I was going to make long
time. And how did that play out?
I got called into the superintendent's office and he discussed it with me, and I told him it had nothing to do with what I'm doing. That's not my job.
Right.
I was opposed to it, but what I was opposed to makes no difference at this point because now it's law.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once the court ruled, I mean, I said I tried to stop it from getting to the point where the court would rule.
Right.
I lost.
Right.
So
it's not going to prevent you from doing mm-hmm. your
yeah.
job.
No.
Right.
And so there were people who still had problems with that, but still the superintendent understood what I was saying. Newman, you know, supported me and backed me at that time.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he saw the work I was doing. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that what I did on my job was appropriate, not.
Mm-hmm. So that meeting where they were getting ready to go out to Terry Road, were you able to?
I was able to stop them by saying, what good is it going to do for you to go out there and get killed?
Mm-hmm.
I have to kill somebody and get arrested. Those are your options.
Mm-hmm.
You get killed or you get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to take care of your kids? You say you're doing it for your kids, are you really? So you need to be looking at how do you protect your children,
mm-hmm.
not how do you show somebody else something.
Because
mm-hmm. your focus now is on them and not you. And so, and we worked through that.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of the work through that individually before the meeting, because you know, because once you get public,
right?
it's so I went down and so I did a whole lot of individual meetings in homes and
mm-hmm.
we'd have people to rant and rave and talk through and get down to what are the real issues and how do we go about protecting our children? Hence, that's
right.
That came up with the name United Black Protect
Parents. Right.